Okay, so that's our introduction or our review there. Oh, one more here. When the angels spoke to humans, what did they look like? Jared?
Just normal people.
They looked like normal people. What gender?
Men.
All right, they always looked like men. They always looked like men. Doesn't mean they were men, but they always looked like men. All right. So tonight we're going to be looking at evil angels. And this is an important one. There's a lot in this that is important for us to grasp. We don't want to miss some of the stuff that is here because it's very pertinent to us in our day today. Though created holy, some angels became evil. And so all the angels, when God created them, He created them holy. But some of the angels rebelled against God. And some of the holy angels sinned and lost their holiness. And this is mentioned in Jude 1:6, where it says, And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath He reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto judgment of the great day. All right, now, not all the angels are chained up. All right, some of the angels, and God doesn't tell us why some of them were chained up and why some of them are let loose. All right, but the 2 Peter verse there says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be... Second here, I've got to roll the screen. All right. Lost my mouse too in the meantime. Sorry. Should have had just somebody look it up. That would have been easier. All right. Chained in darkness and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. All right. So some of the angels were chained up. Not all of them were. Obviously, Satan and his demons are loose and running loose. Some people believe, and this is just a theory, that the angels that were chained up were, if in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God that intermarried with the daughters of men, if that was demons that were doing that, it could be that God took those and chained them up after that. I don't know. That's just a theory. But that's something for you to chew on. Okay? Probably about a third of the angels fell. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, says that the stars... refers to the stars, and it says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman and which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All right, so here he's talking about the during the tribulation period and the third part of those angels. So that could be, that's probably what that was referring to as the angels of God. So then the leader of the fallen angels is known as Satan. We know that. Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 calls him the great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. All right, so he's the leader of the angels. Many Bible teachers believe that Satan's fall is described in dual meaning in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read those two passages, but both of those passages are talking about a king. But when you read those passages, it just cannot be referring to just a king. It has to be more than that. Let me read the ones in Isaiah. There, it's not quite as long of a passage, but I'd encourage you to write that down, have a look at it, or download the notes. But Isaiah 14, beginning with verse number 12. It says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, most Bible commentators believe that that was a dual prophecy. A king was making some statements similar to that, but it has to be more than that. It refers to, we believe, Satan. Over in Ezekiel 28, it's even more clearly not just a man. And I wasn't going to read this, but I think for the sake of clarity, it'd be good if I did at least read some of it. Ezekiel chapter 28, and It's verses 11 to 19, but let me just read a few of these here. Verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Very precious stone was thy covering, sardis, and a topaz, and a diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of the tabrets and the pipes have been prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub." See, these kind of comments, they got to be more than just a man. And so most Bible commentators would say both this passage in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 are talking about Satan, but they were used in a dual context. Many of the Old Testament prophecies, especially in the minor prophets, you'll find that many of them were dual prophecies. They would say it to a nation or a people, but they're talking about something else that was later on. Especially some of them talk about the day of the Lord coming, and there'd be a day of the Lord's judgment right then, but it was also looking way into the future to the day of the Lord that it hasn't even come yet. So there's a lot of those kind of dual prophecies in the Bible, so keep that in mind. Fallen angels are called evil spirits, demons, or devils. All right, and I think we probably were aware of that, but it's good for us to know that. All right, any questions before I buzz on to the next? Okay, when did the evil angels fall? Okay, some falsely claim that these angels turned evil between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. This supports the unbiblical gap theory. Right? That is not true. I don't believe that. And most solid Bible scholars do not believe that. But there are some that are trying to make a long period of time between Genesis 1, where it talks about God created the heaven and the earth, and Genesis 2, it talks about, or Genesis 1, 2, it talks about how it was without form and void. And they say, all right, well, so God created everything, and then it all kind of went to pieces. And it was during that time when it all went to pieces that the devil and his angels rebelled against God. And then God, when we read Genesis 1, it's not really God creating everything the first time. He's just kind of fixing it all back up and putting it back together again. I don't believe a word of that. But they're trying to get their millions and billions of years in there because they want to say, well, you know, science says there's billions of years. You don't need all those billions and billions of years. All you need to do is believe the Bible. The billions of years can't be proven by anybody. It's only theories. And the Bible tells us it all happened 6,000 years ago. Or thereabouts. So we're better off just believing the Bible and not paying any attention to the false teachers that are teaching otherwise. Since God created the angels, their fall must have been after creation of all things. All right, so God created all things, and it must have been after that. For example, in Genesis 1:31, it says, God states that everything that he had made was very good. And he created the angels. So they're part of that, everything that he had made. And it was all very good. And we know that the fall of the angels was before Genesis 3:1. That's when Satan tempted Eve. So there had to have been somewhere between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 of Genesis there where Satan fell. And those chapters there, you know, we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived on earth before they sinned. You know, and they didn't have any kids yet as far as we can tell. Nothing's mentioned about any children. So you'd kind of think that it wasn't very long, but at the same time it could have been. You know, one of the things that just crossed my mind the other day, I was listening to a preacher preach a message, and he mentioned this, and he didn't even say anything about this, but when he read that verse again, it clicked in my mind. And I thought, in Genesis chapter 3, part of the curse upon the woman, and it says there, in verse 16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply," notice, "I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception." All right, now that's a key. Perhaps before the fall, women weren't going to have children, you know, as rapidly as they could now. Maybe it was once in a while they'd have a child. Whereas now, you know, women can have children every it'd be a little tougher every 9 months, but you know what I mean, real quickly. And so perhaps God was multiplying that as well. So maybe Adam and Eve did live for quite a while and didn't have any children because that wasn't all part of it. It was just, you know, yes, sir.
If you lived to 900, a whole lot of kids, if you had kids at the
Exactly. Exactly. You would. You would. You'd have a lot of kids if you were having them every year and a half. You'd have a lot of kids. All right. So that's just something for you to ponder and think on. And I'm not saying that that's absolute, but that's something I was thinking the other day. Their fall must have been after the creation and before Genesis 3. So we know that has to have been the case. So somewhere in there, Satan and his angels fell from heaven. Now, as we look at the rest of this lesson tonight, we're going to be looking at the subject of all the different descriptions of all these demons in the Bible and the demonology that's in there. Witches and wizards to start with. Witches and wizards, these practice sorcery and evil magic. Now, I'm not going to look up all of these verses here, but we will look up some of them. But in Exodus chapter 22, verse 18, it says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." So God's penalty for witchcraft. Now, witchcraft is common today. It's abundant in our world today. People aren't even ashamed of it at all today. And yet God said in the Bible that a witch was to be put to death. That was a capital punishment for being a witch. And a wizard got the same punishment. In Leviticus 20, verse 27, it says, "And a man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or a wizard, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." So that was a very serious offense to be a witch or a wizard in the Bible days. And a witch or a wizard, it can be either male or female, doesn't matter which. And cartoons often include witches and wizards. All such cartoons are very dangerous, and we should not let our children watch those things. I can't emphasize that enough. The devil uses cartoons to bring these things into the hearts and minds of the children to soften them and to deaden them to the reality of what's taking place here. This is very serious. We're talking about something that God hates so bad he said it needed to be put to death. And so we need to be extremely cautious and careful there. Many computer games involve witches. Do not play such games or allow your children to play them. It's amazing how much demonism and witchcraft is instilled in all of those kind of things. The games and the cartoons and things of that nature. So be very, very careful with that. Then find spiritism. Spiritualism, as it should be properly called, is an attempt to hold communication with the spirits of the departed dead. It has another name, immortalism, and its investigations are carried on in these days under the title of psychical research. All right, now, some big words there. Take note of them. If you read about them or see them or hear it on, you know, the television or something, you're aware of what that's talking about there. Not good things. The Bible uses many different names for spiritism, as we will see. And this is very, very dangerous. Again, all of these things we're looking at here tonight are extremely dangerous because the devil is very, very powerful. And we dare not mess with these things at all in any way, shape, or form. And other names of spiritism would include divination. We read that about that in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." So what's it mean to pass through the fire?
Walking on hot coals, that's... No?
Not Sean?
That's sort of fire walk.
When they were sacrificing the children to gods like Moloch.
Yeah, it's sacrificing the children to the idols.
Oh, right.
Putting them through the fire. And the witchcraft and demonism, all this kind of stuff, it's all of the devil, it's all wicked, it's all evil, and God said, don't have any part of it. And it is for this divination is foretelling the future by the power of the devil. And there are white and black witchcraft and magic, but both are evil. No matter whether it's white witchcraft or black witchcraft, it's all evil. And witchcraft sometimes is called Wicca, or a Wiccan is a believer in witchcraft. All right, so this symbol here is a symbol of witchcraft. If you see that symbol, it's the kind of a five-pointed star. It's a symbol of witchcraft. And so you need to be aware of that and stay clear of that, because it is not at all good. Okay? Other names for spiritism would be an observer of times. All right, Deuteronomy 18:10, once again, he mentioned that observer of times. It's also called soothsaying over in Micah 5:12. It says that I will cut off the witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. All right, it is the ability to tell the future by satanic power. It's very similar to what we just looked at, different name and slightly different situation. This has reference to astrological type divination, predicting the future or seeking guidance through the stars, planets, clouds, and weather. All right. So people that use astrology and all of that, astrology God clearly forbids here. It's wrong to, you know, people go to the newspaper, and I don't know if our local papers put that kind of stuff in there or not, but it's available in some places, even especially on the web, I'm sure it would be, where they can read the astrology or their horoscope for the day. That is very, very, very wicked and evil, and we should never, ever get involved in that, because it's all part of this that God strongly, strongly condemns in the Bible. Okay, another name is an enchanter. Deuteronomy 18:10, once again, he mentioned the enchanter. The enchanter is one who practices witchcraft. So just other names for the same kind of things with slightly different meanings. He or she is able to get information from the demon world. And that is scary when you think about it. But an enchanter observes the signs and omens. Now, an omen is a sign of something that is about to happen. You know, people say, oh, that was an omen. Well, that term is not a good term. It's a demonology type term that is used there. And they're seeking information from the demon world. Now, one of the things we need to remember is the devil and the demons do not know everything. They are not omniscient. They are not omnipotent. They're not omnipresent. They are limited, but they're extremely powerful. And they're far more powerful than any human being. Remember, even Michael, the archangel, when he was in the book of Jude, says when Michael, the archangel, was disputing with the devil, he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Because even Michael wouldn't say, you know, straight out rebuke him, because Michael, the chief angel of heaven, did not feel qualified to condemn openly the devil in his own name. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so, we're dealing with things here that, you know, may seem, you know, especially because of all the cartoons and all that rot that's been on there, that has deadened the minds of people, and we think, oh, you know, it's just a cute little thing, and oh, you know, it's not a cute little thing. It is extremely real, and it is extremely dangerous. So we need to be very wary of that. A charmer is another one that I mentioned during this Deuteronomy 18:11. It says, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. All right, so a charmer is one who casts spells. A spell is a mental state changed by witchcraft. Harry Potter claims to cast over 130 spells. You know, Harry Potter is very dangerous because he leads curious and innocent people into witchcraft. You know, again, it's put out as kind of a kid's type of a thing and a fun thing to do, and Harry Potter this and Harry Potter that. All of that is very, very demonic and wicked and evil. We've got to stay away from that, because the devil's using that to lure people in. It's bait to pull them into witchcraft. And so when people, you know, they're used to all that as children, and they get up into their teens and upper years, and they start dabbling with it, and they want some information as to, you know, what happened to Grandpa when he died. I want to talk to Grandpa again. They get curious. And I knew a lady that claimed to be a Christian that was had lost a loved one. I think it was a child, if I remember correctly. And she was talking about the possibility of going to see a witch to try to contact the child. And I said, no, don't do that. That's not right. Don't do it. I don't know whether she ever did or not. But, you know, there's lots of that out there in our world today. And we need to be extremely careful with that. Other names for spiritism: consulter of evil familiar spirits, And Deuteronomy 18 there, we just read that. It's someone who is a medium. Mediums talk to the spirits of the world, to the spirit world for someone else. So it's someone that goes between, a medium, that goes between you and the spirit world. God forbids consulting with mediums. This also forbids the use of Ouija boards. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I knew nothing about Ouija boards. And I think when I was about 10. And I had a birthday party. We usually didn't have birthday parties. I think I had one when I was 5 and when I was 10 and when I was 16 or something like that. But anyway, on my 10th birthday, I had a birthday party and I invited some of the boys from school. And one of the boys brought a Ouija board for me. And as soon as they all went home, Mom says, "Get that thing out of here." And she took it down in our basement and chopped it up in little pieces and threw it in the fire. And I said, you know, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just a game. And my mom, praise the Lord, she was wise enough to realize what it was and said, "That is wicked, and we're not having that in our house. Get that out of here." And that was the end of that one. But they are extremely dangerous because people are wanting information. Put your hands on the thing and let the thing move. And, you know, some people say, "Oh, you know, they're just kind of pushing it around." Well, some probably do. But the truth of the matter is the devil pushes it around too. And the devil answers their questions. They'll ask the devil questions, and they'll actually move on that board and answer the questions. Because the devil is powerful, and he's deceiving people, and he's pulling people into this because he wants to get them away from God and away from what is true. All right, a necromancer. Necromancer is literally one who questions the dead. So he's talking to the dead, asking them questions. This is one who talks to the dead or claims to, anyway. And it is a crime that was punishable again by stoning. We saw that in Leviticus chapter 20. They were to stone this kind of a person to death. It was punishable by death. And then, so as we review these things, all right, let's just have a little bit of a review. Think about what we've just said. When did these angels fall from their holy estate?
After the fall. After Adam and Eve sinned.
How did that happen? Who made them sin?
Oh, sorry. No.
Before the fall.
Yes.
Okay, so sometime before the fall, but after creation. Okay? So it had to have been after God created it, because he created everything perfect, but it had to be before the fall, because Satan was there to get them to do wrong. Alright? So we know it was somewhere in between there. Okay? So just get that embedded into our minds. And then, what are some modern terms related to contacting evil angels? Some of the modern terms are referring to them. Seances would be one. Very good.
Ouija boards.
Spiritism. All right. So some of the ones we talked about here tonight is witches and warlocks and wizards and Wicca and charmers and spiritism and spiritualism and astrology and seances, like you said.
Psychics,
that's another one. Yes. Clairvoyant is another one. Very good. All right. Good. So it's good that we're aware that all these things are connected. Which two Old Testament chapters are likely describing Satan's fall? Yes, ma'am. Yes, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. All right, so kind of helps you remember the 14 doubles is 28. So that kind of, you know, so Isaiah is 14, Ezekiel is 28. Okay? All right, very good. And then name some of Satan's name some of the ways that Satan is promoting witchcraft today.
Video games.
Video games, yes. Garrett.
Social media.
Yes.
Movies and films.
Yes, social media, movies. What else?
What about the
Harry Potter?
Guns and Dragons. What's that about? I don't know what it is.
Dungeons and Dragons would all be about the same stuff.
I think probably like close to England, so if we're all close today.
Yes.
Yes. Stars and stuff.
Yes. Those stars, you never ever wear that kind of stuff.
Harry Potter. It's worth noting that J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, is a self-professed Satanist.
Hmm. Yes.
Quite openly says, "I'm a Satanist."
Yeah. And that is one thing that Lepi's just brought up that I think is worthy of repeating here. Be very careful what you wear on your clothes as far as symbols and writing. Sometimes you may have something you don't even know what it is. Well, don't wear unless you find out what it is, because it might be something very bad. All right? And you know, you might say, oh, a pretty little star. No, that's not a pretty little star. That's a witchcraft star. All right? And so be careful about that kind of stuff. And there's other symbols that would go along with that that we need to be careful about. All right. So very good. You've had some good things there. Now, some things for us to ponder. Why do people typically turn to witchcraft today? Jared?
Because they're trying to seek something.
Okay.
Or they sometimes just think it's cool.
Yep.
They could be fearful about the future and they want to find out and they think that witchcraft will be able to tell them.
Right. Garrett, how's that right?
Well, some people think it will bring them prosperity.
Okay. Yeah, especially the horoscopes and stuff like that, they're digging into that to try to find some answers, yes?
And the de-sensitized
also,
it's pretty much the
origin of
this power to be like God.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they feel more powerful, so they can, you know, be able to do things that other people can't do. Yeah, there's all these kind of things that are all part of it. And seeking the demons' help and power. You know, some people would actually do that. We would pray and say, God, I need your help today. Some people are actually praying to the demons and seeking help. That's a terrible thing to even think that. All right, so why do you think that Satan focuses so much attention on promoting witchcraft to children? Jared?
Because they're easily influenced.
Okay, they're easily influenced?
Yes.
John Ray?
Well, you're not going to see God as the good guy and follow him when you think that Luciferianism is the true way.
Yep.
Because it's a kind of like an inversion. Like,
yep.
They see him as the truth.
Yes, that's like right. So, Sean?
They condition them when they're younger so that when they're older they'll be more susceptible.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so condition them while they're young. You know, the things we learned as young people often stick with us throughout our life.
And teach the child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he won't depart from it. So Satan's probably cottoned on to that.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. I remember hearing years ago, and I don't have any quotation from this, but I remember hearing that the communists used to say that if they could have a child until he's 5 years old, he'd be a communist for the rest of his life.
Yeah. That's true.
And I mean, if that's true, then that means that as Christians, we have a lot of work to do before they reach 5 or 6 years old. And a lot of times, people just have this idea, well, you know, just a kid, you have to give them time to grow up. No, those are the years to grab their hearts, because there's a lot in there that you can have an influence on. Last question. As Christian parents, how should we protect our children from witchcraft? All right, we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but what else can we do to protect them? Jared?
Well, I guess educate them. Like, if you educate them, instead of not telling them about those things for them to discover it themselves, just tell them, like, this is that, this is that, this is that.
Yep.
Like, show them.
Yep.
Otherwise, they might not get it. You know, yep.
And when they see something, or even in the shops, there's stuff where there is for sale that are leading things in the wrong direction, and you can say, you know, don't look at that, or don't be around that. That's not good. That's evil. You know, point out things. Let them see. Protect them, guard them from what they can watch and see and hear and things of that nature. And just, you know, if their friends give them something like my friends did that is related to witchcraft, then immediately confiscate it and tell them why and destroy the thing. All right, John?
Well, it's equally important to telling them what's bad. It's also presenting them with the alternative.
Mm.
Like,
yes.
You can tell them what's bad, but you need to also then tell them what's good.
Yes.
Because if you don't tell them what's good to fill the void with, eventually there will just be false with it.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
And so, you know, we need to realize we don't need demonism to have a fruitful and a successful life. We've got Christ. We can turn to Christ. We can pray. We can trust Him, and we can depend upon Him, and He can meet our needs. We don't need to look to them to try to figure out what happened to my loved one that died, or what, you know, we don't need that. God gives us all the information we need. And so that's a very good point, John. I appreciate that. And then I'm not going to deal with this next page at all, but it's there. It's going to be it's on the website. If you want a bunch of names of Satan and things like that and references, you can just download the notes, and there's lots and lots of names and things there of Satan. but I'm not going to deal with it tonight. Okay? So it's all there for you on the web. All right. Any questions? It's been good discussion tonight. John, or Garrett.
I don't think there's any answer for this from what I remember, but was there any particular reason why one third of the angels decided to join Satan? Like, does the Bible allude to anything at all? Why? Or they were just, I guess, they had a choice?
You know, there's a lot of mysteries around that. You know, why did... Some people would say, well, why did God create Satan to be able to make a wrong choice? We don't know. Why did God create Satan at all, knowing that he would make a wrong choice? We don't know. Why did a third of the angels follow him in his evil way, and now they're his servants? We don't know. You know, I guess the same question could be asked in a similar sense is, you know, why do we keep doing wrong when we know it's not right? I don't know. You know, there's no real answer to that, Garrett. That's a good question, yeah. But there's no real answer to it. Yes, sir?
Well, my guess is it's kind of like what happened to Adam. Adam was perfect, but he eventually did something wrong. And I guess they had that choice. God gave them the privilege of having a choice. And something must have happened at one point. And that was like their temptation to just, okay, let's just go.
So the one thing that we can't figure out is that when God created the angels, he created them in a different way than he created us. And by that I mean, we are in the image of God. The angels aren't in the image of God. We are able to fellowship and communicate with God. The angels could communicate with God, but maybe not the same kind of fellowship. And when the angels fell, that was it. There's no redemption for them. They must have had an intelligence or something about them that made it so when they fell, there was no excuse at all. They just made a one-time fatal mistake, and it's over. So the devil and his angels are doomed. There's no redemptive story for them. And that's why even Peter talks about how the good angels desire to look on our salvation because they don't understand all about being redeemed. Because that wasn't part of the plan that God had for the angels. So there are differences between the angels and the humans, and we can't really grasp all those things because God doesn't give us all that information. But it is something to ponder. Okay. Yes, sir.
It's interesting that in the creation account, the creation of angels is mentioned.
I'm listening.
When did God create the angels?
Well, he obviously was sometime in that span before. I mean, whether it was after or before us, my own personal guess was he created the angels before he created man. But that's only a guess, and it means nothing. It's just a guess.
Just interesting. It's never mentioned.
The Bible doesn't tell us.